Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Wonderful afternoon in sunny, tranquil Florida. Amen. I want to talk to you about signs of the times, in a sense. The title of this would be The Beginning of the End. I'm going to talking to you about the end. Date setting is a dangerous thing. Amen. It has actually caused a prophecy to be fulfilled. There, people have set so many dates and nothing happened, and people got so wired about Y2K and the end of the world. The world thought about it for a fleeting moment, and then it came and it went and they forgot about it. Actually, preachers running prematurely to pulpits with messages of the end is here instead of the end is near. The message should be, amen, have caused a lot of scoffers to come, as the scripture said that they would, saying, where is the sign of his coming? We've heard it all our life, but nothing has really changed. Well, we're in a different stage of the end times now. We're in a different category of last days. We're in the last of the last day. What I want to talk to you about this morning is not the end of the age or the end of time, but the beginning of the end. I want to talk to you more about not the end is here, but the end is near. And because it's near, it could be here very quickly. Can you say amen? The signs that signify that we are living in the last of the last days. Say it with me, the last of the last days. Now, theologically speaking, if you want to get into the actual theology of the end times and the end of the age and the coming of the Lord and all that is under the covering and umbrella of the last days, theologically, they began on the day of Pentecost. It set in motion those times. That early church, believe me, was looking for the coming of the Lord. You can't read the New Testament and not see a church that is on high alert. Amen. Looking for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. They were not, when the Bible was written, these letters were not written with their knowledge that for posterity that we would have them today. Of course, they were concerned. I mean, God preserved it. God put it together. But when Paul wrote to Timothy, he didn't say, you know, I'm going to write a document here. He wrote an epistle. He wrote a letter to him. God preserved the letter because it was directed by him for something far beyond encouraging Timothy. It was going to be a letter to the church of every successive age. Isn't that incredible what God did? But when Paul sat down, moved by the Spirit, he wrote to a man he was concerned about. He wrote to the church of Ephesus. John wrote to the church of Laodicea. But how many know the church in the 20, regardless of where it's located, the title over, we need the message that Laodicea got. It's a timeless message. It's a message from Christ to his church universal, not to a church in that particular location. So the Bible is a book written by men that did not even understand when they were writing the significance of these letters. Amen. These epistles, these holy epistles. Amen. And yet here we stand in the 21st century and God preserved it all and put it in a book for us. Amen. Called the Bible. A finished book, a complete book that is more relevant and contemporary in the 21st century than it was in the first century. They were writing and living the New Testament in the first century. We are reading these writings, amen, in the 21st century. We have the whole book, amen, hallelujah. And we have the witness, and we have the history, and we have the technology, and we have all the things to look back on and see God fulfilling his word that they didn't have. Amen. We have the kingdoms in history of in world history that Daniel saw in the future. He was living in the Babylonian Empire, but he saw the Roman and he saw the Grecian and the Medo-Persian empires. He saw them coming before they came, and they came and went just like he said in the vision. Prophecy is real stuff. God doesn't only predict it. The reason he's so accurate, he's not like Nostradamus who hits a few and misses a few and gets some kind of aura about him as a seer. Amen. God says things because God's going to bring them to pass. He calls them not as though they were because he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. Nothing's random in this thing. Hallelujah. What's going to happen is set, and God is still ultimately in control. Hallelujah. not the devil, and not happenstance, but God himself. I love to preach on the sovereignty of God because I can rest in the sovereignty of God. I'm going to live till the day I die. Hallelujah. He talked about God's sovereignty. He said, my times are in your hands. Not in the hands of who takes a wrong left turn on the highway. Not in hands of who crosses the median on the interstate. Isn't it good to know you're in better condition than that? Praise God. If I go home some way, believe me, God will have a hand in it unless I do something stupid. Amen? Now, you can go out and claim faith and shut your eyes and go running across the interstate and tempt God, and that's something stupid. But I'm talking about following God and listening to God and looking to God. He's going to take care of you. Amen? Let's talk about these signs that signify we're living in the last of the last days. A lot of review for most of you, but in light of the tidal wave that came, the earthquake that came, we need to understand this is not the end. We're in a new normal now. You go to an airport, there's a new normal. It's normal, amen, for the increased security. It's normal for the long time spent in searching luggage and scanning people. It's normal now, amen, for you not to be able to go all the way out to airside with your loved ones because of the threat of terrorism. We're living in a, as they called it, a new normal. And the new normal is that we're going to live with the threat of terrorism. It's not going to go away, and I would like to say until Christ comes, but it's not going to go away until Christ comes, but it's not even going to go away till the world, it's not going to go away till the Antichrist comes. He's going to bring a peace to this old world, and he's going to get these warring nations to lay down their weapons and get rid of their century-old hatreds, and they're going to be a time of false peace upon the earth under the Antichrist reign. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Some of that peace is going to come because of his diplomacy. He's going to be demon powers that incite nations to war are not going to do it. They're going to cooperate with the man of sin, the son of perdition, in order to bring a temporal false peace to the earth so he can be so empowered, amen, as a potentate of the globe, the earth, a universal leader rather than just a national leader. Did you know what happens when the devil's let out of the pit after the 1,000 years that he's consigned or whatever and he's let out of the pit? The Bible said under the reign of Jesus on planet earth, he's going to go incite the nations that haven't come to Christ and bowed to him as Lord, and there will be those. Isn't that incredible? When Christ is here in person, there's still going to be people that will not bow to his authority in their life. And Satan will be loose from the pit, and what's the first thing he does? He goes and incites the nations to war against Christ and those that reign with him. It'll be the last battle ever fought in the universe forever, forever, and forever. That'll be it. It'll be over forever. But it won't be over until that battle is fought. It's the last battle that will ever be fought. Amen. But it's a coming battle. But it's coming. Amen. For at the end of a ruling and reigning with Christ, when the final purging comes to this earth, Satan has that kind of persuasive power. Even with light, as bright as it's going to be in this world, with Christ reigning upon this planet, nations will turn against him. You read it in the book of Revelation? That's incredible, isn't it? When Satan is loosed, he will incite them to war. Satan can call his dogs of war off. He can cause them to act like pet dogs. And that inspires nations right now will not inspire them and incite them. Satan and all hell will cooperate with the man of sin, the Antichrist, to achieve an end and a purpose. And we'll talk about Satan's ultimate purpose is to be like God. Amen. So he has a man that he's going to work through, that he is going to try to have an incarnation through. Amen. And it's going to be a time like there's never been a time like, will never be a time like it again. The Great Tribulation is being orchestrated. Everything's being moved into place for the Great Tribulation. Seeing the setting for the Great Tribulation and the coming of the Antichrist, amen, convinces me even more to be on the alert for the coming of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It doesn't tear me down. It doesn't take me back. It just says Christ is coming very, very soon. It gives me two things, a sense of urgency to look upon the fields and a sense of expectancy to look toward the eastern sky. Hallelujah. So I live with a looking upon the fields that are white and ready to harvest. And I live with a looking up for the soon coming of my King. Hallelujah. Amen. One thing is for sure. I don't live in the last days with my head bowed down. I live with my head lifted up. Can you say amen? When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Do you know what that means and what it says in the actual Greek? It means stand up and lift up your head. Can you say amen? It's not just looking up. It's standing up with courage in the last day and with confidence because you know that Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. And until He comes, He's with you. Let me read this quickly from Matthew 24. It said, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple," verse 1, "and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." It's unthinkable to them what He was telling them was going to happen. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. This is called the Olivet Discourse. It's highly prophetic to the nation of Israel and to the church. We need to distinguish the prophecies that directly concern national Israel and the prophecies that concern the church. There's a coming of Christ in the air. There's a coming of Christ to stand upon a mountain. Can you say amen? Where every eye will see Him. There's a secret coming, and there's a coming where every eye will see Him. How will that happen? How will it, you know, how's that going to happen? I'll tell you right now, if you want to see what the devastation of the tsunami, just tune in, CNN, anywhere in the world, and you'll see the same images at the same time by satellite being transmitted live as it happens. We are living in a day when mighty events can be seen around the world simultaneously. We're living in that high-tech society that God was talking about in the end time. Listen to this. Amen. And He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming?" Everybody say, "The sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world." And Jesus said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Everybody say deception. The first thing He talks about is not earthquakes and tsunamis. It's not heavenly comets coming out of the sky. It's not cataclysmic events. The first thing He talks about is a spiritual darkness upon the world. Amen. Let no man what? Deceive you. We could spend the whole morning service talking about deception, not just in the world, but in the church. The Bible said this thing would be progressively darker as we move into the end times. For evil men and what? Seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can you say amen? Listen to this. Deceiving and being deceived. How can someone be so deceitful or handle the Word of God so deceitful, you say? It's because they are waxing worse in their error. And you know what the judgment is for rejecting truth? The worst judgment is not some cataclysmic event on the earth or some terrible thing happening to your body. You know what the worst judgment is? For God to allow you to go into the darkness. To believe a lie and be damned because truth had no value and had been pushed back and rejected. We're living in a nation that already is experiencing judgment. There's no judgment coming to America. There's a judgment here. And it's even touching the churches. Romans 1:18, because when they knew God, they would not worship Him as God, but worshiped and served creature more than creator. The Bible said God sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Man would leave the natural use of the man and burn in his lust for another man, and likewise the woman. It's a sign of a nation that is in the preliminary judgment stages. Am I reading from Romans 1:18? There's a national judgment here, if you haven't noticed. It's here already. And it's not just in the world, it's in the church. It's not just in the media, it's in the church. But people that are deceiving others are deceived themselves, and deception is allowing to go into that. Thank God for the checks and balances in the Word of God. Thank God for the Bible in a day like this when men are going to stand in churches with crosses on top, with steeples, with stained glass windows, stand in vestments and open this very Bible and twist the Word of God. The whole Nazi regime was based on a warped view, even of Christianity. The swastika was called the twisted cross. And how Hitler used hatred for the Jews, amen, to rally people who said they considered or honored or loved Christ to turn against the very object of his greatest love and desire to save. A twisted cross. We got a twisted cross message out there that's not about politics and hatred of other people so much as it is, amen, a message that doesn't represent the truth, amen, that was once delivered to the saints. So he said, false messiahs are going to come. We've got young Sun Moon. You'd be amazing. The intelligent people that are following young Sun Moon. You'd be amazed, the intelligent, articulate, talented people that are hooked up with the Church of Scientology and listening to the teachers of Ron L. Hubbard. You'd be amazing, the Christians who laid their Bible down and picked up, amen, the book about going into the light that a woman wrote about her out-of-body experience, who came up to a Jesus character, a Jesus figure that told her that all religions were ordained of God and all roads led to the same God. So you can be a Buddhist or you can be a Christian. You can be a Muslim. All roads are going to take you to the same heaven and the same God in the end. And God was the author of it all. And that just absolutely tears everything the scriptures say away from it. And all the people that died for the faith, all they had to do was just hook up with some other religion. It all goes to the same place. Can you say me? That's a lie right out of the pit of hell. Well, who did she see? Brother Venable, I'll tell you who she didn't see. She didn't see the Christ of this book. Can you say amen? For no marvel if Satan himself be what? Be transformed as what? An angel of light. The whole Mormon religion and the Book of Mormon is based on a man who got a revelation, an extra-biblical revelation that they said God wanted added to the book that he said don't add anything to. And he got it from an angel of light that God said to watch out for if he says anything different than what's already written. Can you say, man? Even if an angel bring another gospel, don't listen to him and write down what he says. Let him be anathema. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's time the church got out of deception. Let the children of the light walk in the light as he is in the light. Hallelujah. He didn't start out with cataclysmic events, signs in the skies and signs in the seas. He started out, amen, with spiritual signs, particularly deception. I'm praying that what's happening in these days will call Christians on the fence, cause them to go ahead and make real commitments to Christ. I'm praying that what shakes the world will wake the church. Can you say, man? Two things need to happen. The world needs to be shaken so that they'll begin to listen to the message, the true message of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. The only place of refuge, and the church has that message, but the church has to wake up to give that message properly. Amen. When they look to us, they need to see a people that are behaving what we believe. Can you say amen? Living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus will change every priority in your life. It will give you a brand new set of values. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You'll get up in the morning with a sense of purpose to look upon the fields and a sense of expectation to look toward the eastern sky. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, not I am Jesus, but I am Christ. I am the Anointed One. That's exactly what Mr. Moon and many others are saying. I am the 21st century Messiah. He said, don't go after them. Don't go after them. Don't go after them. There are churches that name his name, but they're filled with deception. Don't go after them. Don't follow them. Amen. And you shall hear of wars. Now we're moving out of that realm of spiritual deception. We're moving into the realm of actual things happening on the planet. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Everybody say the beginning of the end. See, what we're talking about here is the beginning of the end. It's predictions of the end that has caused the scoffing attitude because we passed those dates that we set and the end didn't come. Amen? But that doesn't mean that it isn't coming, because it is coming and it can come very quickly. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or manifold or diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now we see the sorrow. When you just look at sorrow in the way we think of sorrow, you see it. I saw a mother just after they were digging a mass grave for the children. A large portion of the dead are children who weren't strong enough to hold on to anything or swim or do anything to help themselves. So a large portion of the dead are children. One woman lost her home, her husband, and 11 of her children. So you talk about sorrows, deep, devastating sorrow. I saw women wailing, watching a hole being dug with a backhoe and being filled with children. I saw women with faces that were in shock and tear-stained, going through the dead children looking for their own child and then wailing when they found their child. These images will always be imprinted in my mind because it started on a day like today, but an event changed all of that. These events have been happening, by the way, throughout all human history. What's different about the beginning of the end or the last days? What? There's always been wars. Read your history book. There's always been pestilence. The bubonic plague wiped out so many. The Black Plague in the Middle Ages. Come on, this is not new. Rumors of wars have been since day one. Look at the national history of Israel. Somebody was always trying to take their land. They were always having to ask angelic assistance of God to help them win battles. Can you say amen? What's different about this? He said the difference is birth pangs. The word here for sorrows is not what we saw on CNN. It's what a woman goes through when her time is near. She starts having contractions. They're called birth pangs. Say it with me, birth pangs. Sorrows is used in other places in Scripture, Old and New Testament. But only in the New Testament, one time, is this Greek word rendered sorrows. It's the word birth pang. And what happens when birth pangs start? How do you know you're getting closer to the culmination and the birth? How do you know? Two things happen. Increased pain and increased frequency. See, what's happening now is being condensed and compressed. It's not drawn out over historic time. It's happening in a condensed, compressed way. Why? Because something has been triggered. A last day scenario has already been triggered. Amen. And birth pangs means a birth is coming. It's not there yet. But when you start having contractions, what do you do? What does any woman, pregnant woman, do? I've got to get to a hospital. Why? Because that contraction is telling you that the birth is coming soon. It's the beginning of the end of that process. Can you say amen? And what tells you that it's getting very close? Amen. The first thing the doctor is going to ask is, how close are the contractions coming to one another? You know what we got here in Florida? For a long time, we got nothing. Every hurricane went by us and went to Carolina and Virginia. But when they did came, they came in clusters. And it blew us away because we were numbed. It was unbelievable what happened during last hurricane season. Amen. The next one, when I see one out there and they say, that's probably going to go up to Texas, I'm going to say, phooey. Going to get my gasoline, get my batteries, and look out the window. See how it looks out there. Amen? They can't predict everything, even with Doppler radar. And they missed it, and they know they missed it, and they're now saying that they're widening this prediction a path, you know, to cover many miles, because a lot of people called them up and said, you know something, you said it was going in down there, so I was just sitting back here waxing my car, amen, and saying, they're going to have it rough, we're going to get a few winds, and suddenly it's on top of me. Now they're saying, you know, we don't have it all together. We can't tell what the weather is going to actually do moment to moment. Things can happen in a moment to change everything. Man is not in charge. He is not in control. Can you say, man, only God is in control. But thank God He is in control. Praise God. You can put your trust in Him. Put your life in His hands. You can live effectively in the end times because God is still in control. Hallelujah. It's the frequency. Right now, over 40 wars are being fought. We're not involved in all of them, so we don't think of them. We're not involved in what's happening in many of the provinces of Africa. We're not involved in what's going on in different places in the world, but there are wars being fought right now. There's pestilence in the world. The AIDS epidemic is not just an epidemic anymore. It's called pandemic. It's went beyond anything that their figures had projected. It's jumped beyond all of that. And there are nations of the world that are facing cataclysmic events as a result of the AIDS virus. There's a controlled atmosphere in America. We feel insulated from all of that. But in our world, there is pestilence like never before. There's going to be a pestilence, and I may read that. Let me jump ahead for time's sake. But one of the seismologists was talking about the tsunami, and a man from the World Health Organization said one wave has come, and it was the tidal wave, and all the devastation it brought and the death it brought, and now there's decaying bodies all over the place, and they're afraid of the water being polluted and people coming in contact with all of the diseases that massive death of 150,000 and counting. It's continuing to grow. It's extraordinary. You pick up 11,000 dead and you're shocked. 22,000 dead. It rocks you to the foundation. Amen. And then it goes to 24, and then it's 38, and then it's 52, and then it's 98, and then it's 112, and then it's 122, and now it's 150. So the World Health Organization spokesman said another wave is coming. It's not a wave from the sea, but a wave of disease as a result of polluted water, as a result of decaying bodies. So that part of the world is still under the sorrow of a cataclysmic world event that should speak to the world and to Christians. I sat in the lunchroom at work with a man who had a Thailand t-shirt on. He has a daughter in Thailand, and we could only speak briefly. He was a technician that came in to work on some of our machinery, a guy, older guy about my age, and he I asked him about Thailand, and he said his daughter was inland, so she was fine. But when he saw it, he couldn't rest until he found out about his daughter. And he said the animals, same thing they said on CNN, he verified. He said some people were saved because they saw the animals heading inland, and they said there's something wrong. And you see, the problem is you don't see what's coming. You don't know what's wrong. Amazing thing it said about the United States and our seismographic instruments that monitor the world and satellite systems is we knew it was coming, it said. On one of the headlines of a newspaper, we knew it was coming. But because of the communication systems, because of the fact that you can't get to all of these people in these third world countries, in particular in these poor people, amen. We had, it said, and this shook me when I read it, it said we knew it was coming. But we had no one to tell. See, that's the problem. That is the problem. That is exactly the problem in so many anointed ministries now. We know what's coming. We need some people with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Watchmen need to be sound of warning. They don't need to be trying to worry about their budgets or whether they're going to get reelected or whether, you know, or whether or not we're going to get a car big as the other preacher's car so we can compete with his success symbol. You know what we need to do? We need to get back on the wall. We need to sound a warning, and we as God's people need to listen. I'll tell you, if the Holy Ghost has His way, He'll put you on high alert. He won't put you into fear, but He'll put you on high alert. He will alert you to the fact that these are the last of the last days. These are the beginning of sorrows. The end is not yet, but the end is near. And we need to be about our Father's business. And we need to get our eyes lifted from the things that drain our energy, our strength, and our vision. And we need to get them a little bit above, amen, pampering this old flesh. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this place. We're living as if no end is ever coming. The church's message doesn't indicate the soon coming of Jesus by and large anymore. The church's message is mainly about how to live a heaven-like life here on an earth that's under the wrath of God, that's already quaking under it. Birth pangs. All of these things that have been happening down through history now are being compressed. And there's a frequency to them. You know what they said about the tsunami and the earthquake? They said it's been so long since an earthquake of this magnitude has come. And they're concerned about, listen, clusters again. That this is not the last we've heard. It won't be another 100 years or 150 years or 500 years before another event. Something could happen quickly. So they know. And they're concerned. They should be concerned. We shouldn't be fearful, but we should be alerted. We can't slumber and sleep. We can't sit on the fence. Can you say, man, you can't have it both ways. You can't have His peace in the last days. Amen. And not live for Him. The word is used for sorrows as birth pangs. Jesus' own word declares that there will be a time that precedes the end of the world, or of the age and of His coming, marked by certain signs. Signs that are precursors to His coming. Signs that signify the day of the Lord is hastily approaching. Conditions in the culture and in the church, the physical world and the spiritual realm, that would alert the children of light to the nearness of His coming. What did the Bible say about you? You're not children of darkness. Amen. That day overtake you as a thief. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah, but you are children of light. And because you are children of light, you are to put on the armor of light, which is nothing less than the whole armor of God, which is nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? Better not be your righteousness, better sure enough be His. Look at somebody and say, better sure enough be His. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. How do you take the armor? By putting on Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And making no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Believe me, Satan will not conquer you. Listen to me. I said, believe me, Satan will not conquer you. I said, believe me, Satan cannot conquer you. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say, when you see these things, the end is here. He said, when you see these things, the end is near. Let me read from Luke 21, 25 through 32, King James, listen to it. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Hello? That's why I want to bring this message this Sunday. The sea and the waves roaring. Actually, the way it reads and the way it runs is that it's the sea and the waves roaring that's brought the perplexity to nations. Because there's no defense system against it. There's no satellite that can keep it away. There's no missile that can stop this. They talk about comets. Say they're making movies, more movies now about cataclysmic world events than have ever been made in Hollywood. And now things are happening that are just as outrageous as any movie they've ever made. In our generation, in our time. Preachers are talking about, astronomers talking about possibilities of some foreign body from the heavens entering our atmosphere and what we would do if it did and it was on a collision course with the earth and what would be the scenarios if it struck the earth. They're now thinking more than an ice age. They're thinking that it was a comet that hit the earth that destroyed the dinosaur kingdom, the ancient kingdoms. And they're thinking about missiles to counteract asteroids, just like in the movies. They're actually having to plan for cataclysmic events because we're becoming aware through our knowledge, intellect, and scientific discoveries that we are vulnerable on this planet. That's why on your coin it says something. It doesn't say in technology we trust. It doesn't say in the new age we trust. Can you say amen? It doesn't say in our intellect we trust or in our ingenuity. It doesn't say in our military might we trust. It says in God we trust. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a message that our forefathers wanted on every piece of currency and every coin in America. Because riches can give you a false sense of security. Can you say amen? But there's nothing that can buy the peace that Jesus Christ and Him alone can offer. That's why the church will be so relevant in the last days. Hallelujah. He's talking about all these events, including His coming, He said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, everybody say the beginning of the end. When you see these things begin, is there anybody in here that's heard enough from me and other teachers and preachers, amen, and prophecy teachers in particular, that you could read your paper, look at your newspaper, open your Bible and say, we're in the beginning of these things. Amen. Well, it says when you see these things begin, this frequency, this compilation, this compression of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, deception in the earth. Know what? Do what? Run in panic, when in fear, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Can you say amen? That's not what He has on the agenda for His church. What does He say to His church? He says, when you see these events, they're all cataclysmic, they're all moving, they're all unnerving. But when you see them, know something, and out of that knowledge, do something. Can you say amen? When you see these things, do not react like the world, for men's hearts will fail them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. But you're to see it through a different lens. You're to see it through the lens of the soon coming of your King and of His kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Woo! In the Greek, it means stand up and lift your head. And I don't mean it. I don't think it just means just looking into the heavens, because you can do that sitting down. But it means to stand up and hold your head up. Oh, somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time the church stood up in the midst of all of this darkness and chaos and lifted our head up and said, we have peace because we have Christ. Not only do we have peace, we have joy because we know His coming is at the doors. Hallelujah. There's a shout of a King among us and there's a shout coming from heaven soon. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Give Him praise in this room. We're almost through with this message. Give Him praise in this room. Give Him praise in this room. Hey, tadaboko selema, ni tadaboko sandalamadite, breshalabakitana, shalamadite kionde dabasitianda. Hallelujah. I want you to remain standing. We won't finish this. Hallelujah. He'll finish it tonight, if the Lord's willing. Glory to God. Billy Graham is preaching a judgment to come. Billy Graham is deeply concerned that no one is listening. Billy Graham is talking about what's about to happen prophetically, biblically, and what he feels in his own spirit. In his last closing days of ministry, he's like a watchman on the wall, sounding a warning, amen, to a world that's too busy to listen. Amen. Listen, if, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow or another we could have got a message to all of those people, amen, to flee what was coming. Can you say amen? God's message is fleeing the wrath to come. It's not a message of just getting bigger and better homes and bigger and better cars. Amen. He can give you a better home and a better car, but that's not the core of the gospel. That's not what He saved you from and for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is a wrath to come, and we need to be prepared for that visitation. Hallelujah. Amen. We need a message. Listen, Oral Roberts prophesied recently night, and he's in his closing waning hours, and he's on the wall bringing a message. And you know what it is? He said, listen, the world is going to be shaken by the... This is before this earthquake. This is not after it, but before it. He said, the world is going to be shaken by cataclysmic events, in essence. He said, and the world is going to look to the church. The world is going to look to the church. The world is going to begin to look to the church for an answer. There's a false church out there with a false message, but there is a true church. He said the tragedy is there are too many people in pulpits without the fire of God in their bones. And the world looks, what are they going to see? Amen. Sleepy people. People with their own agenda. People so busy with their own life, they hardly have time to drop in on Sunday morning. What are they going to see? People alerted. People in the know, people expecting Jesus, people working feverishly, fervently in the harvest field. Now they're going to see people, amen, headed for the golf course, the beach, the mall, and the theater. People who get up on Sunday morning in the very last of the last days and have to ask themselves whether it's worth the time and effort to go to God's house. He said the church isn't ready to receive all the people that God wants her to open her arms and embrace. So God wants to build that mighty fire of revival back in His church. Amen. What kind of church do you go to? Can you fall asleep under the preaching? Can you be at ease in Zion? Is this such a time to go after gold and apparel? When God wants to anoint a message to touch a world, would it have been great to have a satellite radio and be able to run down a beach filled with kids and families and run down that beach and say, I know it's sunny. I know the sky is blue. I know the sea is calm. But beyond that horizon, at about 500 miles an hour, something awful is coming. You got to listen to me. You got to get out of here. I'm afraid that the animals can sense things more than people so involved in fleshly activities that we've lost spiritual sensitivity. We're not alerted like we ought to be. But when the earth shakes like it does and nations shake like they do, amen, it ought to stir something deep inside Christians. If not now, when? And if not us, who? Can you say amen? Billy Graham says a judgment is coming. God is shaking the world. The coming of Christ is soon. The tribulation approaches. And people are sitting down, watching. He said Christians are sitting down, watching their sports figures on television without a concern. He was concerned about the state of the church in America and the state of the world in light of the soon coming of Christ. There's nothing that helps Satan with his agenda like a dead church, like a compromised Christian life. Because all that they do here is being blown away by our attitudes, which says, don't believe it. We don't. Why should you? We don't live like it. We don't act like it. Why should you? But wouldn't it have been great to run down that beach and say, get to the high ground. Tell those children, come on, children, you can't stay out here and play. Get to the high. Look up. Look at the birds. They're flying inland. Look. Look at the rabbit. He's going inland. Look at the field mice. He's going inland. Why is he going? Because he knows something's coming. Church needs that knowledge. Can you see? Have we lost our spiritual sensitivity that with the headlines and the scriptures in front of us, we can be nonchalant? We can be business as usual? That's descriptive of the last days, the very coming, the end of it all. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They builded. They married. They gave in marriage. In other words, they did everything as if nothing was ever going to change anything. And they didn't know till the flood came and swept them away that the judgment was upon them. By the time they realized it was too late to escape it. That's why when they came to be baptized of John, just wanted to figure out who he was, what he was doing, and how to criticize him. He has said, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" In true Holy Ghost conviction, there is a sense that we're under the wrath of God and we're in desperate need of a Savior, and we don't make concessions and we don't play games with God. Hey, hallelujah. And when there's true conviction, there's true conversion. And when there's true conversion, you don't walk right back out into this world. I'm going to tell you up front, you didn't get saved. You just went to an altar. If you ever really get saved, you can't just walk away like that. It's not a light thing. It's a life-changing thing. If you can be as comfortable in a bar in Ebo City as you are in church on Sunday morning, I'm telling you, you've never met the Christ of this Bible. You have never been converted according to this scripture. I don't care who told you you were. You're not until you're changed. Come on. Oh, but brother, she got saved. He got saved back. Did he really get saved? Did he really get saved as the Bible describes saved? Have we lore-rated saved to walking down an aisle, shaking the preacher's hand, getting baptized in water, getting our name on his book somewhere? Is that what saved is, with no change in the life, no change in the values, no change of heart? Is that what saved is? Is that what it means that old things pass away, everything becomes new? Is that what it means to be born of the Spirit and born of the water? Is that what it means to be born from above? Is that all there is to the power of God, to let you sign a roll of a church book and live like the devil with no heart for His worship, His word, or His people? We know we've passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. We don't just hang out together when we feel like it. We're absolutely committed to one another in love. Hello? And the world will know that you're my disciples because they see that in you. Hallelujah! Without that, it's not a church. Without that, we are not Christian, regardless of our paraphernalia. That's what Jesus said. I like what Billy Graham said, trying to get us back, even in his early ministry, preaching repentance. That message has never been popular in the world, and it certainly isn't popular in the church anymore. As Billy Graham in his earlier days became well-known in his preaching ministry around the world, another well-known preacher was asked what he thought of this new evangelist. He said, quote, "Billy Graham has set the church back 200 years. That's what happens when you preach repentance and see all those people coming to Christ. That's probably in some of my notes somewhere that I've been sent to. Someone told me I was like a dinosaur, but it was a compliment. Then they went on to say, you're like the old Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. They got a beautiful new facility, but there's no place like the old Ryman. Can you say, man? So that it was meant to be, you're still from the old school. Now, yes, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're in a very unprogressive church. We're trying to get back to the old pathway, not find some newfangled highway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this in its fullness. It's really neat. I love Billy's wit. It said in Billy Graham, so he asked him, what about this new evangelist, Billy Graham? He said, Billy Graham has set the church back 200 years, was his retort. Some years later, when Billy Graham was being interviewed by the same reporter, he mentioned the preacher's comments. Oh, said Billy, I'm greatly saddened by that comment. You see, I had wanted to set the church back 2,000 years. Hallelujah. What we need is a message that'll set us back 2,000 years and let us sit at the feet of Jesus on the top of Mount Olivet. And listen with keen ears to the Olivet Discourse and say, Lord, what shall be the sign of your coming? And when shall all of these things be? And what will signify the end of the world? And what I read to you this morning, Jesus said to them, and Jesus is saying to us in the 21st century, and how much nearer are we now than they were then? Coming in clusters, and it's coming with frequency. Every time a body bag comes back from Iraq, we're reminded that we didn't just go in, conquer, and leave. Men are dying. Women are dying today. And the world is weary of war. Wreak havoc, the writer says, and loose the dogs of war. One day those dogs will be called off and become like puppies so that the man of sin can come on the scene and take world dominion. And when they say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them. Everybody say birth pangs. Then shall sudden destruction come upon them as a woman in travail. I'm preparing hearts to hear the message that you have to offer. Not just that you can give, but a message you live every day of your life. I'm preparing their hearts to receive that message. For I know the ones that will listen. And I will bring them in contact with you. And you in contact with them. For you are influencing people that you don't even know are watching. Saith the Lord. Let's worship Him right where we are this morning. Is there anyone in this room would say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. I've never been saved, and I need to come to Him. Is there anyone in this room? By the way, this altar call will not end when I say let's worship and we play a song. These altars will remain open to you. The Lord prompts you, you come. We're looking for services, amen, where people come in that don't know Him and they're captivated and captured by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Shalama kitananamo salama. Hallelujah. How many Christians in this room will say, Pastor, I need for the trumpet to be blown in Zion because this world is so loud sometimes. I need to hear the clarion call of God. Raise your hand if you want to keep that kind of anointing and spirit here that won't let you rest and won't let you be neutral and won't let you get a little slumber. Can you say, man, but will cause you to be alerted and about the Father's. But wave if you want that kind of ministry. Hallelujah. All right, let's begin to worship Him as children of the light this morning in the world of darkness. Whatever, either one, I don't know what you have, but you let it rip. Praise God. We're going to worship the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God can't shake this world till He can hands. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Let's get ready to be the witness. Now I'm going to ask a question in the closing. There's some things in your life you just want to get past so you can do the Father's bidding in the last days, this critical hour. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Just, you don't have to detail anything. God knows the encumbrances we all carry, the responsibilities we all bear. Some of them are financial, and honestly, there is a true prosperity message in Scripture. I believe God wants to free us up from such pressure that keeps us so absolutely intense in just living. Amen? Just making ends meet. He said something earlier, and it clicked in me. I don't want you to have to live week to week or month to month. Boy, it would really help to not have to think about those things. Amen? Not even have to think about it. Because if you're thinking about those things all the time, you can't think about the things you'd like you to think about. I believe God's going to help us to move forward in this area. And in our minds, the clutter sometimes that keeps us from a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Whatsoever things are pure, holy, of good report. That's what insulates us against discouragement, insulates us against depression. Can you say, man, is those pure, holy, wonderful, faith-building, life-giving thoughts in the multitude of my thoughts within me? Amen. Thy comforts delight my soul. Oh, if God could get us focused on His promises. Hallelujah. And on His person. Wow. What a difference it would make. And in our hearts that have been broken and wounded, places that haven't healed, where they open someone's heart to go in and fix a hole in the heart because the person was having trouble breathing and speaking for, and they finally found out they were born with a hole in the heart and it was leaking, and they went in and they fixed that hole, and now that person is able to do all that we do because that place where it was leaking has been fixed. They were able to go in and fix the hole in the heart. I'm telling you, God can go in and fix the hole in your heart. And how does He do it? He anoints your head with oil. The Holy Spirit is the conveyor of the healing herbs and the healing balm. Hallelujah to your life. And I'm telling you, He's coming to heal you so you can help others. And what's going to happen? He's going to turn your test into a testimony. Glory to God. And you're going to comfort others. Hallelujah. With the same comfort wherein God has comforted you. Hallelujah. Who better to go to someone that's broken and hallelujah, and hurting than someone that God has brought up out of the miry clay? The Bible said He'll give you a testimony and the humble will hear of it and they'll be gladdened by it. Can you say amen? When they hear of your deliverance, they're going to take hope in their own heart. That word humbled is that Hebrew word for being crushed, depressed, and pushed down. Amen. Hallelujah. These people under that kind of pressure are going to say, there's somebody just like I was, but look what God has done in that life. That's why Joyce Meyer has a listening audience today, is because she was in that condition. Amen. But God lifted her from the miry clay. And people in that condition says, the woman has something to say. Hallelujah. If God can do it for her, God can do it for me. Hallelujah. You cannot extract yourself from the miry clay, saith God. You cannot lift yourself out. Your strength, your ingenuity can't pull you out, and no man can pull you out. But you have a God that can lift you out, and you have a God that will lift you out. And the God who can and will is in your midst this very day. Say not in your heart, there is no help for me. Say not in your heart, there is no lasting deliverance for me. Your God has come with healing in His wings, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Woo! We don't leave. We'll start up again. You better join hands with one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb of God. And the scripture shall be fulfilled. There shall be of thee those that build up the old waste places. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! That song, that's Isaiah 58. That's the chosen fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Light shall come forth as the noonday sun. Glory to God. And thou shalt be as a watered garden who ceases not from yielding her fruit. And thou shalt call upon me and I shall say, here am I. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you join hands? We'll try again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this day. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Father, use the quaking of a fragile world is shaking. You're not the destroyer of the innocent. You're not the hurt of mankind. We live on a planet that's revulsed. We live on a planet that's convulsing. Oh God, as the time nears, the whole planet that's in rebellion is convulsing. Father, Lord, there's groaning. Oh God, in heaven, Father, help us to be about our Father's business in this day when the darkness is so dark it's actually enhancing the light. Hallelujah. Help us to do what you said, to lift up our heads, literally stand on our feet and lift up our heads. For our redemption is drawing nigh. And help us, Lord, to sweep. Send a tidal wave of a different sort. A tidal wave of a different kind. Send a wave of your glory. And let it sweep over the nations one last time. Hallelujah. For a mighty harvest before your coming. In the name of Jesus. Father, send your holy, cleansing, convicting rain. Hallelujah. We'll praise you to see it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand and hug their neck and lift up your head. Glory to God.